Christ, who am I? I'm selfless and I'm self-sacrificing. I'm caring but cautious. I'm faithful and forgiving. I'm decisive and determined. I'm supportive and I'm steady. I'm prayer-filled and I'm patient. I'm persistent but not relentless. I'm tired and tireless. I'm hardworking and hospitable. I'm welcoming and wise. I'm elegant and virtuous. Sweet-spirited, eager servant. Who am I? I am a mother. 24 adjectives to describe the one who raised you and or the one who is raising you. Now here's a word from mom. When my daughter was 2, she refused to hold my hand when crossing the street. And then we saw a baby squirrel that hadn't made it all the way across and was sadly flattened in the middle of the road. She asked me what happened, and I replied, he didn't hold his mommy's hand. Worked like a charm. I believe this is a true story. The youngest of Nancy Edison's sons was Thomas Alva Edison. Not all the stories you're going to hear about Edison or his mother are necessarily true. But when Nancy Edison decided to homeschool her son after he had been kicked out of school because he was considered addled, meaning that he could not think clearly, Edison, they think, may have been dyslexic. And he said of his mother the following: my mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, I felt that I had something to live for and someone that I must not disappoint. Well, today we honor moms. I wonder if you can think back when you were a child about what it was like to be around your mom. And then the good old days. Remembering our mothers. Now, we do so today by giving cards. We give flowers sometimes, gifts of some sort. Some of us wash the dishes. So thank all of you mothers. I want to say thank you to all of your mothers for your willingness to make the rest of us productive and content and happy souls. Well, for Mother's Day this year, I wanted to give you a glimpse of a successful mother. I remember many years ago preaching a sermon about a mother and a woman who was not a mother had come to church that Sunday, and she said she went home very discouraged. So I said, what's the problem? And she says, on Mother's Day, preachers always talk about the best, the greatest, and the most successful mothers. Why don't they say something to people like me? Well, she was right. So, folks, today I'm going to preach about a successful mother. This particular mother found a little plastic rubber pig. She brought it to the table every time the family met for a meal. And these, she said, are my rules when the pink pig is sitting on the table. She said, if you burp or make any other inappropriate bodily noises, you get the pig. Every time you use a sharp tone or use rude words, you get the pig. If you chew with your mouth open, or if you try to throw food into somebody else's mouth while their mouth is open, you get the pig. Napkin in your lap, not on your sister's head, or else, pig. Rocking in your chair, getting out of your chair, falling out of your chair, pig. The pig will move from person to person as laws are broken. Whoever ends up with pig at the end of the dinner does everybody's dishes. I honestly would love to have been at the table with a mother like that. The Bible says something interesting about happiness. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. I would like you to find with me a successful mother. You're going to find upwards to 150 references to mothers in the Bible. You've got mothers-in-law, you've got mothers, you've got women with motherly traits, and you've got women who are not mothers. But I wanted to focus with you just for a few moments today on a mother of Moses. Does anyone have any idea who the mother of Moses was? Does anybody know the name of the mother of Moses? All right, find with me Exodus chapter 2 in your Bible. I'm going to read a little section of the Bible with you today. And I want you to find with me this passage beginning at verse number 1 where it says the following, Exodus 2. Look with me at verse number 1. There went a man of the house of Levi, took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, that would be a papyrus box. She daubed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein and laid it in the flags, the reeds, by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done of him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark, the box, among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's mother, shall I go and call to you a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I'll give you money. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. Look again with me at verse number 8, if you find with me verse 8. The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I'll give you your wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now listen, folks. It's impossible to miss the hand of God on some people's lives. This was a 3-month-old child. But did you notice that the mother's name is not even mentioned in the passage? Now, I know the stories about Moses, but I didn't even mention once her name. By the way, Pharaoh's daughter's name is not mentioned either. Well, how do we know who this mother is? Look with me, turn the page, please, to Exodus chapter 6, and let me show you what her name is. It is one of the most beautiful names in the entire Bible. Exodus chapter 6, look at verse 20 with me. Amram took his father's sister to wife. I'll let you figure that out. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. The years of the life of Amram were 130 years. Amram took him Jochebed. Her name means, folks, listen to this, Jehovah is glory. Well, today's mother, for Mother's Day, is Jochebed. And I've titled the lesson for this morning, She Fears the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for our mothers, all of them, Lord, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. Thank you, Father, for them who gave us so much more than life. They gave us themselves, and we say thank you for that today, Lord. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for their patience. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their goodnesses to us, Lord. Thank you for their ways, the wonderful ways. Thank you for their prayers. Thank you for their consideration of us. Thank you for giving them to us, Lord, as you gave us to them. I pray, Father, for the mothers especially this morning, and I ask that their hearts might find contentment in you. I pray, dear Lord, that if we look at your precious word, that we'll see what it means to fear you as this woman Jochebed did. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there are plenty of motherly characteristics, but the one that is close to the top, I think, is this one here, that she fears the Lord. I don't know what you think about your mom. I don't know if you had a Christian mother. I don't know what kind of home you grew up in. You are the only one that knows what kind of home you grew up in. But I'm going to tell you, somewhere near the top must be a mother who fears God. I want to read a story for you here. This is actually a poem. Before I read that, I just want to let you know what it says in Proverbs 31 about a woman who fears the Lord. The Bible says, she shall be praised. So I want to tell you this poem here. It's a gem. It's actually a wonderful gem. It goes like this. In 1966, I happened on a girl and spent 2 years of pondering the value of that pearl. She has a face and has a heart all full of love and filling. And so I sold my singleness all 50 years, God willing. And I have never once looked back for fear of what I missed. If ever God was good to me, it was that wedding kiss. 4 years and happy were the first without a child to bless. And so we cultivated joy and fields of faithfulness. Then like a mighty let there be, from Genesis page 1, another soul was born on earth and we beheld a son. But I had eyes for something more, to watch God make another out of a girl, my college pearl. I watched him make a mother. A kind of revelation this, just as the ancients say, how much of Christ there is to see in her maternal way. 8 years and two more happy sons, all priceless to the minute, and are like an unrolled open scroll with God's own message in it. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, though all the world has gazed, but when a woman fears the Lord, she will be praised. I think that there's something that inspires you and me. It's somebody that fears the Lord. It's sad to say that we're living in such a day today that fewer and fewer people really reflect in their lives fearing God. But I think of all the qualities that you would want to find in a person and admire in a person, it's whether or not they feared God. I know with everybody, something stands out. Something always stands out to other people in their minds. But wouldn't it be great to be able to have it said that the ladies of Emmanuel Baptist Church, the one thing that stands out in the ladies at Emmanuel Baptist Church is that they fear God. For myself and my 43, almost 44 years, I am grateful beyond gratefulness that I have a woman who fears the Lord. The Bible is simple, isn't it? The Bible is not a complicated book. Well, maybe a few places like Ezekiel or Jeremiah. But there are so many simple things. Here's one of them. A woman who fears the Lord, she'll be praised. You agree with me that it's somewhere near the top? Agree with me, please. Somewhere near the top of the characteristics of a woman should be that she fears God. I want to say something to you this morning about that, because I want to say something to you about Jochebed and how she expressed her fear of the Lord. It means reverence, awe, and holy respect. In Psalm number 2, the Bible says, serve the Lord with fear. That's what the Scripture says. So there is a need in our own lives when we're serving to do so because we're reverencing Almighty God. Interesting, over in Psalm 147, the Bible says that the Lord takes pleasure in those that fear Him. You know, there is something about fear and fearing God that I want to bring to your attention this morning when I talk about Jochebed. And it has to do with your eyes. And by that I mean this. If you see the Lord in a high exalted position, you see yourself in a low position. And a person who fears God sees God for who He is. There are plenty of us who we think that we are something. And we actually fear ourselves. We think that we are something, when the one really who is something is Almighty God. So it has to do with your eyes. How you see yourself and how you see your Creator. And by the way, did you know that the counsel of the Lord comes to those who fear Him? The Bible says in Psalm 25:14, the secret, but actually the word is counsel there. The counsel of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. You see, when you fear God, you've got the right amount of fear of Him while having the right amount of respect for Him. And when you fear God, you run towards God. You don't run away from God. You run towards Him. There was a sermon that was preached a while back by Pastor John Piper. And he tells this story about when his family was invited to another home for a particular meal. The kids were quite small at this time, he said. But the family had a very large dog. A very large, scary dog. A dog whose bark was very ferocious and very scary to their littlest boy. Being around the dog would instill fear in an adult. But the little boy was really shook up by the dog. Being in the house a little while, everybody decided that they would go out on the deck, and the instruction was given specifically to the pastor's children, especially to the little boy, don't run from the dog, he'll chase you down. So everything was going fine, everyone was happy, they were having a great visit on the deck, and then it came time to leave. The family moved towards the car. The very, very large dog began to bark and approached the little boy. The little boy, instead of stopping and petting the dog, which he had been doing all evening, instead of petting him, the little boy began to run toward the car. Much more barking, much more growling, much more running, much more fear. The little child was completely scared to death, said Pastor Piper. I want you to think about what you think about when you think about God. Do you think about running to God or running away from Him? That will tell you in some degree what your level of fear for God is. He is a Father. He's a perfect Father. He's an understanding Father. He's a know-it-all. And folks, He wants you close to Him. But the more you run from Him, the scarier God becomes. I don't know what you think today about God. I want you to realize that there is so much in the person of God to hold in high esteem. As a matter of fact, one man put it this way, this is the first commandment of the entire gospel, fear God instead of the many things which you fear. Now, I want you to see with me the story of Jochebed. I just want to say a couple things. I want you to think about fearing God in relation to your children. Now, immediately in verse 2 in your Bible, Exodus chapter 2, You find out that she's a daughter of Levi. The Bible says that both she and her husband Amram were descended from Levi. By the way, for those of you who know your Bible, you know you've got Moses, and then you've got his parents, and then you've got one more generation, the three sons of Levi, and then you've got Levi. So that's how closely connected that Moses was to the Levites. By the way, the Levites were the ones who were the carriers of the furniture of the tabernacle that Moses was going to oversee the building of in days to come. But immediately the Bible tells us something about this lady. She's connected with the Levites. In particular, she's only a few generations removed from Levi. So Jochebed is married to a Levite. And they have three children. The Bible says they've got Aaron, they've got Miriam, and now they've got Moses. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. The woman conceived, bore a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Now wait just a minute now. The Bible says that he was a goodly child. Do you know what that means? It means he probably wasn't an ugly baby. I thought, there is so much available today on this business about ugly babies. I was completely shocked. There's research done about ugly babies. Seriously. He was a goodly child. He was probably a cute, adorable looking baby boy. Pleasant to the sight. I want to say something about Jochebed. I only want to say a couple of things, but I want you to think about it like this. When I say that she was a successful mother, I don't want to give you the impression that if a person is not a, quote, successful mother, that she's not something wonderful. Listen, the Bible tells us very simply and very clearly that it is valuable for a woman to fear God. And the story unfolds, you're going to see just a couple things here. The first thing is a woman who fears God has got confidence in Him. I want you to think about it with this respect. I don't know what your circumstances were when you were born, and you probably don't know about your circumstances, but your mother does. Your mother remembers what life was like when you were born. But the Bible tells us how important it is to fear God. Now, whatever the circumstances were when you were born, guess who engineered your circumstances? Guess. It wasn't your mom. It was God. God brought you into this world. God gave you the mother that He gave you, period. He created your birth circumstances. God, according to His wisdom, put you in the home that He put you in for His purposes, and His purposes are better and bigger than yours every single time. You were part of the circumstances that God arranged for you to enter into the human race. Now, what were the set of circumstances in which Moses came into? They were not easy times. For those of you who don't know the story, turn one page back, please, Exodus chapter 1. Let me show you what the day was like. Exodus 1, look at verse 9 in your Bible with me. Look what the scripture says. He said unto his people, this would be Pharaoh, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join out unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now, it was anything but a pleasant world into which Moses was born. But would you please agree with me that God creates the birth circumstances, the family circumstances, the situation in which you entered the human race? And would you not agree with me that fearing the Lord is having confidence in Him even in the 15th century B.C.? Look again. Look at verse number 15. The king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and another one Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you kill him. Said the king of Egypt, daughter, let her live. Look at verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? Verse number 19. The midwife says to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Really? For they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Who created the circumstances for your birth? Who allowed you to be born into the home in which you were born? That will tell you to a degree whether or not you have confidence in God. Listen, if I told you my story, which I think I've told it to you sometime, listen, I wasn't born into a pleasant home at all. I would say that by and large, mine was a very unpleasant home. I do remember a friend saying to me one time that he lived in the same house his whole life. I think at that time I might have been 8 years old. I thought for sure he was lying to me. All we ever did was move. We never stayed in the same place. I'm guessing that we got evicted. I don't know for sure. Who created the circumstances in which you were born? Will tell you something about your confidence in God. God brought you into this world, and God brought you into the circumstances in which you were born, just like He did with Moses when Moses was born. You see, when you respect God, you respect God for all that He does and is. You respect Him because He put you in the home He put you in for His purposes. They're bigger and better than yours every single time. But it's an expression of your respect for your Creator when you have confidence in God. Do you think God made a mistake when He put you in the home He put you in? Did God make a mistake when He put me in the home that He put me in? Listen, faith, not fear, is God's plan. It's always been His plan. As a matter of fact, look what the Bible says about the plan here. Look at this. This is what it says in the New Testament on Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, look what the Bible says, Moses didn't do a thing. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Folks, faith is confidence in God. If you fear God, you have faith in Him. You believe what He says, and you do what He says. They hid Moses. Now think about the type of faith that Jochebed must have had to do what she did. Think about a woman's motherly love for her son. Think about how marvelous it is to be able to say, my mom loved me, or my mom loves me. Think about how unsettling it must have been to wake up every day wondering if somebody was going to discover this little Jewish baby in her home. Listen, you have to have confidence in God in the circumstances of life. You need faith, but I will tell you this much, you always need more faith when it comes to your children. You need more faith when it comes to your children because God wants you to trust Him. parenting children is a very, very daunting task, and one that none of us thinks we do very well, or we've done very well. But you want to trust God with the children that He's brought into your home. And Jochebed feared God. How do we know she feared God? She had faith. She had confidence in the right person. First, she feared the Lord, meaning she had confidence in God. Secondly, fearing God means that you submit yourself and your children to the Lord. You know, regarding your relationship with the Lord, are you relying on Him for the future of your children? You see, one of the most wonderful things that I had in my life was my second mother. My mom had it tough. I won't tell you some of the stuff, but she had it tough. But I got a second mother. I got a mother who feared the Lord. I got a mother who loved me. I got a mother who prayed for me. I can honestly say that even though my mom and dad may have loved me, I never felt love until I ran into this other mother. To this day, I called her a week or so ago to thank her again for her kindness and help for me. But listen, folks, are you relying upon Him for the success of your children? Submitted to Him, surrendered to Him, letting Him have His way with you, and you submitting your children to Him so that He gets to have His way with your children. We've got five, one upstairs and four downstairs. One in heaven and one here. I've shared this with you before. I'll probably tell everybody I know between now and the day I leave this world. This boy, who's 42 or 41, I forget how old he is, he calls me every single day. I let him talk to Janet once in a while. Sometimes he calls twice a day. I will tell you that your children are worth everything to you, mom and dad. Whatever you think about your children, and I know some parents, they're constantly shaking their heads. They can't understand their kids. Why in the world is this kid doing this? I don't know. This one guy said to me, I don't understand him. This dad said to me, he said, I don't understand him. I had one fellow one time. I met him. The first time I met him in at breakfast. I'd never met the man before. And in a matter of minutes, he was just pouring his heart out to me in tears about his son. Crying his eyes out. He didn't know what to do with his son. Listen, folks. There's always something to do about your son. And that is to submit him to God. This lady had a boy in a very, very, very difficult circumstance. But think about the fact that she submitted her child to God. Every one of you who are mothers or grandmothers or great-grandmothers, have you submitted the children to God? Submitted them to God. Submitted yourself? She was submitted to God. And she did all this. She did all the following. She kept her son alive, even though Pharaoh said that all the Jewish boys should be thrown into the Nile. She planned the best she knew how to plan for her son. She didn't know the future for sure, but she knew that Pharaoh's daughter washed at the river's edge each day, and she came up with a plan to save her son's life. She humbly submitted herself to God and her child to the will of God. Listen, ladies, moms, those of you who fear the Lord, Your children are precious to God as much as they are to you. As a matter of fact, they're more precious to God than they are to you. They need your prayer, love, prayer-filled, loving submission of them to God. Your children are His gifts to you. They're precious in His sight. Submit those precious ones to the Lord at every stage of their life. Listen, every day, Mom and Dad pray for those kids. Do I dare be as blunt as to say and ask you, do you pray every single day for your children? You know what it means to submit to God? You see, most of us are only given those kids for 17 or 18 years, and somebody reminded me the other day, yeah, and teachers have them more than parents. I thought, wow, that was pretty insightful. Parents have less time with their kids than teachers. But know what? You only have a short time. Whether God gives you 1 month, 2 months, or 50 years. God engineered the circumstances for your children to come into the world. Don't you think that you can submit yourself to Him and submit your children to Him as they go out into the world? Listen, folks, it's marvelous to fear God. Number one, among other things, confidence in Him. Number two, humbly submitting yourself to them. Number three, maybe the most important of all, every day praying, looking to Him for His counsel for your kids. I would think that probably if a woman fears the Lord, she does this every day. Think about Sarah praying for a son. Think about Hannah praying for a son. Think about Rebecca coming to the Lord for a son. Think about Rachel asking God for a son. Think about Mary. Do you think that Mary prayed for a son? You see, when you find time, you should read the story of John Newton. The story of the mother of John Newton. You should read the story of the mother of the man who wrote Amazing Grace. The man who had been a slave trader on ships between the United States and Great Britain, who eventually became a pastor. When you have time, read the story of Hudson Taylor's parents who prayed for him. It was when a teenager, a crisis came into Hudson Taylor's life that he simply knew that his mom was praying for him. His entire life praying changed while his mother was praying for him. Here's one of the stories. Hudson tells us this. He says, my beloved, now sainted mother had come over to Liverpool to see me off. He was going to China. Never shall I forget that day, nor how she went with me into the cabin that was to be my home for the next 6 long months. With a mother's loving hand, she smoothed the little bed. She sat by my bedside, joined in the last hymn we should sing together before parting. She knelt down and she prayed the last mother's prayer I was to hear before leaving for China. Then notice was given that we needed to separate and we had to say goodbye, never expecting to see each other on earth again. For my sake, she restrained her feelings as much as possible. We parted, and she went ashore, giving me her blessing. I stood alone on the deck, and she followed the ship as we moved through the dock gates. As we passed through the gates and the separation really commenced, never shall I forget the cry of anguish wrung from that mother's heart. It went through me like a knife. I shall never know fully until then. I have never known fully until then what it meant when it said, God so loved the world. I'm quite sure my precious mother learned more of the love of God for the perishing in that 1 hour than in all her life before. He went and spent 51 years in China telling people about Christ. Now, Jochebed could have waited, right? She could have just... An Egyptian policeman or a soldier or something could have heard the cry, ran into the home, and what would they have done with little Moses then? Likely thrown him into the Nile. And I'm wondering that sometimes every mother needs to pray this prayer. If you're not praying this prayer, maybe it's a good idea to start praying this prayer. What should I do, Lord? What should I do? Prayer of a heart from a woman who fears God. Keep your heart open to God. Keep your heart open to God. Keep your heart open to the Lord. Whatever happens in this life, keep your heart open to the Lord. Is the Lord not able to give you awareness of what you need to do next? Of course He is. She came up with the most ingenious idea anyone has ever come up with. I'm sure that there were lots of other mothers, but none of them came up with a papyrus box idea, cover it with tar, and then put the baby in it and run it down in front of the Pharaoh's daughter. I'm sure that she was the only one. I'm sure she said to herself, well, this Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter has got to have compassion on a little baby. And she did. Listen, folks, when you look to the Lord for counsel, you get counsel. You look to the Lord in fear and confidence, submitting yourself to Him, you'll get counsel. You'll get counsel. You'll know what to do next. I think it's the calling of every parent to keep the Lord always before your eyes. But it's His calling on your heart to keep your heart always toward your children. Jochebed had her daughter watch to see what would happen. Interesting. The sister, Miriam, stood by to see what was done. Now, maybe you can't see what your kids are doing after you've submitted them to God. Maybe you have to have somebody else watch out for them. Guess who's watching out for them, folks? When circumstances don't allow you to watch out for them personally, He watches out for them. And the reason is simple. God chooses our paths. We think we choose our paths. Matter of fact, many people choose their path and they think it's their path. Yet God's got a purpose and a plan that's beyond our thinking. Whatever your home situation, I want to encourage you to fear God. I want you to realize that you can get counsel from God. I want you to realize how marvelous it is that you can have trust in Him. You can submit yourself and your children to Him, and you can look to Him for counsel. You see, when a mother fears the Lord, the Bible says, when a woman fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We have the story that Moses was delivered miraculously. It's a wonderful story, to say the least. But do you believe God can take care of your children? Do you believe God is taking care of your children? Do you understand that God is a child taking care of her? That He understands and He knows your children better than you ever will? You know, it's a rich thing to have a woman who fears God. It's among the greatest riches that any man could ever ask for, to have a mother or to have a wife, or to have a daughter who fears the Lord. She shall be praised, the Bible says. Do you believe that God's taking care of your children? Or do you worry about them? Oh, by the way, if you're a warrior, you're canceling every prayer. And if you're praying, you're canceling every worry. Those of you who are prone to worry, why don't you, every time you worry, trade it in for a prayer for your child? See what happens. You can't worry well and pray well at the same time. And then as I thought through the story, I wondered to myself, I've got a woman here who fears the Lord. And God will honor those who fear Him. We know that. But what she was doing was simply committing her life and her child to God. Turning our children over to God for His watch care is one of the greatest things that we can do every single day. But then I thought to myself, well, what kind of lesson is there for us as far as God and us is concerned? And then I looked at it in this respect, and I thought, God the Father so loved God the Son, He was willing to give up His Son for the benefit of other people, which is exactly what Jochebed did. The Bible tells us that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. Now, I know that there are many of you who have sensed and know that God's hand is upon your life. There may be someone who is listening who doesn't know that simple repentance and faith in Christ will bring salvation to the heart. It's a marvelous salvation that God has provided for us in Christ. The Bible says, repent, change your mind, and believe. Put your trust in the right person. So the request, the burden, the desire of my heart is that you would today put your trust completely in the one who was crucified on Calvary for you. Christ came here to take care of your sins. It's marvelous, to say the least. We have a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him and Him alone. Moms, now you know what a successful mother is. She has confidence in God, submitting to God, including her children, and then praying for them. Success stands right there in your hand. Father, I do thank You that Your word is true. I thank You that it's wonderfully true. I thank You such pure words, beautiful, pure words, Lord. They're good words. They're holy words. They're very, very life-giving words. We thank You, Lord, that these words are true. This is an absolutely wonderfully true story. For that mom that's here today, dear Lord, that needs this more than anybody else, I pray that You'll fill them with Your word. Because in doing that, dear Lord, we know that they can be changed, changed for Your glory. So we give You the thanks, the praise, and all the honor in Jesus' name.